KNOM Update News. I'm Eva DeLapp. It's 9:02. A 26-year-old man is accused of firing a rifle at homes and threatening to kill residents in Marshall. Kyle Myers was arrested Saturday and faces charges of assault, weapons misconduct, and criminal mischief. Alaska State Troopers were notified Saturday afternoon by a Marshall resident who said Myers was intoxicated and threatened to shoot his father. The initial report says Myers had a shotgun. Troopers say Myers was still intoxicated when troopers from Aniak found him at a friend's house. According to troopers, Myers reportedly discharged a .308 caliber rifle at least five times near several homes and threatened to kill several people. Troopers say Myers also broke a window at a nearby home, causing more than $500 in damage. Arctic Fiber announced Thursday that a broadband network anticipated to run from Japan to London will expand to northwest Alaska, including the communities of Nome and Kotzebue. The network will be run off a fiber optic cable buried over a meter deep beneath the seafloor. The cable will start in Japan, run through the Bering Strait and Beaufort Sea into the Canadian Arctic, where development is already underway. Elizabeth Pierce is the Chief Executive Officer of Quintillion Networks, LLC, based in Anchorage. Quintillion has recently partnered with Arctic Fiber to build the fiber optic cabling infrastructure, the major backbone for the Internet. Northern and Western Alaskan communities can now look forward to faster broadband services, including telephone, video conferencing, and entertainment content.
This is a very important project for Alaska. This project is affordable for Quintillion and for Alaskans because the Arctic Fiber Project is already being built and passing right by Alaska. And that if we miss this window when these ships are coming by the coast of Alaska and building out these assets, if we miss this window, then Alaska as a whole misses out.
Pierce says this project is essential in terms of affordability. It would be 5 to 10 times more expensive to build out the infrastructure on its own.
So Arctic Fiber will build the backbone. Quintillion Networks will build and own the spurs to shore, so to Nome, to Kotzebue, to Wainwright, to Barrow. And then whoever is serving that community, whoever the local telecom is or the other providers are, can connect to that. Any provider can connect to that and provide service to the end customer.
Pierce says the spurs will come to shore underground and will be encased in a manhole where the local network can connect. But final drafts are not decided just yet. Consultations with communities and state and federal agencies still need to happen. Pierce also says Quintillion has not had any contact with local telecommunications companies yet, but will be in discussion over the next few weeks, since local providers will be responsible to get access directly to customers. She is not sure what plans would become available for residents or how quickly providers could offer them, but she says there will be virtually unlimited capacity for communication.
Over the satellite and over microwave, there will be substantially lower latency. There's always some latency in long-distance communications, but this will be substantially lower latency. In terms of the size, it's virtually unlimited. We have capacity far beyond forecasted needs for some dozens of years.
She also explains how this could impact rural Alaskan communities.
Quality of life, lower cost of delivering essential services, more ready access to essential services, video conferencing, even just downloading a movie, something we take for granted even in Anchorage nowadays. Downloading a movie often can't happen in rural Alaska. So on-demand entertainment, on-demand education, everything becomes available.
The fiber optic cable backbone is expected to arrive in Nome, Kotzebue, Wainwright, and Barrow in November 2014. However, local telecommunications companies will set the timetable for when services can be offered to communities. Known as the King of the Cusco, Jeff King is the 2013 Kuskokwim 300 champion. Crossing the finish line in Bethel yesterday morning at 11 o'clock, King gathers his ninth Cusco championship. He is the winningest musher in Kuskokwim 300 history. Directly on the Kuskokwim River yesterday, race director Zach Fansler announced King's victory at his arrival at the finish line.
Ladies and gentlemen, here comes your 2013 Kuskokwim 300 champion, nine-time champion Jeff King. He'll be wearing bib number 9. Is there a coincidence there? Give it up for Jeff King.
King was on the trail for 41 hours this race. Having seen the trail 19 times before, King says he knows the course, which helped in his win. But he said at the finish line it was also execution and holding back his team early on in the race.
You need to take a look at my brake on the back of my sled. It is just trashed. I haven't had a brake for 150 miles because it just disintegrated with the full strength of my weight and the sled, and on this ice it just exploded. And the dog's natural instinct is to go faster than I want him to. The power is tremendous. I try very hard to save it and ration it and have it at the end.
King retired from sled dog racing a few years ago. He obviously is back. King said at the finish line that his kennel size is half of what it used to be just 3 to 4 years ago. He doesn't have the depth he used to, but nor does he want it. This year, he says his Cusco team is made up of the dogs that scratched in last year's Iditarod.
There's nothing I enjoy more. There's nothing I feel better. I mean, my aches and I get more aches and pains sitting around than I do out there. They just go away. I don't know why. But if I sit around in an easy chair, I get horribly sore, and when I'm out on the trail, I feel pretty darn good.
King is not only known as the King of the Cusco, but also as the sled dog mushing innovator. Having invented the sit-down sled and heated handlebars, King this year debuted a new invention, what he calls the bun warmer. Created to keep him warm, King said yesterday he didn't even use it.
I didn't even take the cover off. I sat on it, and that's all it did, and I didn't fire it up. I didn't need to, and I mean, I was on the verge of out of control for about 200 of the 300 miles. It's a pretty wild trail and really powerful dogs, lots of wind. I mean, the last thing I wanted to do is deal with that thing.
Again, Jeff King is the 2013 Kuskokwim 300 Sled Dog Race Champion. He arrived in Bethel at 11 o'clock yesterday morning after 41 hours on the trail. Tony Browning finished more than an hour later in second place at 12:05 yesterday. The Aaron Burmeister handler finished strong with the Burmeister team, proving that the dogs in that kennel indeed are a good group. And Bethel's Pete Kaiser finished in third place, tying his personal best and earning himself the Best in the West award. Paul Gebhardt, who said before the race that with the stiff competition, anyone who finishes in the top five in the Cusco this year will have a strong team in the Iditarod, finished fourth in Bethel at 12:44 yesterday. And as of this morning, all mushers have arrived in Bethel. Chukotka's Mikhail Telpin and his team of work dogs brought home the K300 Red Lantern at 7:11 this morning. The price of gold in New York has risen $4.50 so far today, trading at $1,690.20 an ounce. An ounce of silver has risen 13 cents so far today, trading at $32.12, and a pound of zinc is at 91 cents. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 is expected to arrive in Nome at 9:20 and depart for Anchorage at 10:02. Unofficially 24 degrees outside the KNOM studios, 11 minutes after 9 o'clock.